Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, our text is Hebrews chapter 12, which talks about running the race. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Bible often refers to the Christian life as a race, but it's not a sprint. The race is a marathon with hurdles and obstacles, and it's mostly uphill. Life is not easy. Life is hard and difficult with many hurdles, challenges, and obstacles we need to overcome. The Bible tells us that to run this race of faith, we will need endurance, the ability to persevere. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We need the endurance that comes from God in order to finish the race. This endurance comes from realizing what our greatest obstacles are, staying focused and staying motivated. So today I want to share with you about running that race of faith. I want to share with you, number one, the greatest obstacle. Number two, where we need to focus. And number three, the source of our motivation. Number one, our greatest obstacle is sin. Sin entangles us and weighs us down. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. As I said, life's not a 100-yard dash, it's a sprint. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon with hurdles and obstacles. And there are too many obstacles to name. There are financial difficulties, there are emotional obstacles, there are relationship challenges, there are physical issues such as disease or pain or sickness. All of those things, of course, are an obstacle, a challenge that we as Christians have to deal with during our race of faith. There are lots of obstacles to deal with in life. No one ever talks about life being too easy. But the book of Hebrews points out our greatest obstacle. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. I love how the Bible describes sin's effect on our life. Sin is a heavy burden for us to bear, and it entangles us. Can you imagine trying to run a race while carrying a couple of 30-pound kettlebells? There's no way to win a race like that. The whole thing would be absolutely exhausting. No one wants to be weighed down when they're running. In fact, you wear the lightest clothing you can possibly find. Even heavy clothing will slow you down. Sometimes we are, spiritually speaking, carrying around 30-pound kettlebells. We hold on to them and carry our guilt with us wherever we go. We're under the weight of sin, the guilt of sin, and it's exhausting. Life becomes a long, unending slog, and we just are trying to make it through the day without collapsing. You see, sin weighs us down. The guilt of sin weighs us down and keeps us from running our race well. But it doesn't just weigh us down. It entangles us as well and trips us up. Can you imagine trying to run a race with your shoelaces tied together? What would happen? You would slip and fall and hit the track with your face, and you'd be really hurt. That's what sin does. It weighs us down, and then it entangles us in its web, just like a spider catching its prey in the web. I think about that scene in Lord of the Rings where Frodo gets entangled in that giant web, hunted down by the giant spider. Well, the sin is the web that we get tangled up in, and it makes us helpless against the devil, the big giant spider who wants to kill us. You see, the devil doesn't want to just tempt us or trick us. He wants to destroy us. Be self-controlled and alert your enemy. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Sin weighs us down and it entangles us and makes us helpless. And there is only one cure for sin, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ alone can offer us. We are entangled and trapped in the power of sin, caught in its web, unable to free ourselves, but God sent his one and only Son into this world to set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ cuts us free from the web of sin, death, and the devil. He sets us free from the sin that so easily entangles us. And the Bible promises that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. Not only that, Jesus Christ sets us free from the burden of guilt that we carry around with us, those 30-pound kettlebells, right? Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, and your guilt is atoned for. Christ is the atoning sacrifice, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus invites all of you carrying those heavy kettlebells of sin to put them down. He tells us he's already paid for those sins on the cross, once and for all. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Number two. First of all, our greatest obstacle is sin. Number two, our focus needs to be on Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You know, coaches have different styles. I think all coaches would agree on one thing. The key to winning a race or a sport or in your career is to focus. Have you ever tried to do three or four things at once? We can't do it. We can't do any of them very well. We do that driving, don't we? It always makes me mad when I see other people who are distracted drivers. The other day while I was driving, I was behind a lady who was putting on makeup on her way to work. Can you believe that? Wow. I was so mad I ended up dropping my cell phone, my water, and my Egg McMuffin. Okay, that didn't really happen, but don't be a distracted driver. That's very dangerous. We can't focus on lots of different things. We need to focus on the road. And the same thing is true in our life. We can't focus on lots of different things. We need to have our focus in one place. And that's especially true in this race of faith. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the one who gives us our faith and strengthens our faith. He is the one who can truly help us. And he's the only one who can save us. We need to quit focusing on the world with its bells and whistles. Quit focusing on success or status or entertainment. Those things are all great, but they're not our purpose. They are not our reason for being here on earth. Only Jesus can give us the faith we need to turn this race and run this race with endurance and with perseverance. He is our coach. He is our motivator. He is our teammate running right alongside of us. And he is our ultimate goal waiting for us at the finish line. It's easy for us to put most of our focus in the past. Philippians 3 says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's easy for us to put most of our focus on the past. We all have choices that we regret, sins that we committed, mistakes that we made, words that we wish we could take back. It's easy for us to focus on the past with its guilt, with its shame, and with its regrets. But you can't run a race looking backwards. One of the most famous track and field races in all of history was the race between Roger Bannister and John Landy back in 1954. Roger Bannister from England was the first person to break the 4-minute mile. He ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. John Landy from Australia broke Bannister's record. He ran a record mile in 3 minutes and 57 seconds. And they were set to race each other in the Empire Games in 1954 in Vancouver. And this was a huge Super Bowl-like event. Everyone knew about it. It was called the Miracle Mile. And the stadium that day was packed with a huge crowd to see these two great runners duke it out in this head-to-head duel. Landy took the lead early and held on to it for most of the race, but then he made a mistake. He looked over his shoulder to see where Bannister was, and there's a famous picture of it. Landy was looking back to see where Bannister was, And while Landy was doing that, Bannister passed him on the other side. Notice Bannister's not focusing on his opponent. He's focused on the finish line. And that's the same way St. Paul was. He's focused on not what was behind him with all his sins, including his lack of belief, his persecution of Jesus and the church. Instead, he is focused on what is ahead. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul is focused on what is ahead. He is focused on the finish line, which is heaven itself. Forgetting what is behind, focusing on what is ahead, focusing on the future, focusing on the finish line, focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who gives us the endurance to finish this race. When we're running the race, we need to know our greatest obstacle, which is sin. We need to know our focus, which is Jesus. And we need to know our motivation is. And our motivation for running this race is nothing less than joy. That's what Hebrews 12:3 says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus is more than just our coach. He's more than just our teammate. He's more than just our goal. He's also our example. No one during his life ran a better race than Jesus. No one during his life ran a harder, more difficult, more painful race than Jesus. No one endured more, and no one persevered more than Jesus. He's not only the best man to ever live, the only perfect man to ever live, he is also the toughest man to ever live. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus endured more pain and suffering than any of us, any other human could endure. What motivated him to make such a huge sacrifice? Well, Jesus didn't die on the cross just because he didn't have anything better to do. He didn't do it just to impress people. Hebrews gives us the answer as to why Jesus died on the cross. And the answer is joy. Which particular joy is that? Well, the joy of one day having you in heaven. Jesus didn't die so he could go to heaven. He was already there, remember? That's where he came from. Jesus died not so that he could go to heaven. Jesus died so that you could go to heaven one day and be there with him forever. And it was for that joy, the joy of having you there in heaven, that Jesus endured the sinful opposition. It is for that joy that Jesus endured the beatings, the suffering, and the torture. It was for that joy that Jesus endured the cross and even the pain of hell itself. He is the ultimate model of toughness and endurance, and he was motivated by a joy-filled future, which is also our motivation as well for running the race and enduring the temporary pain and suffering of this world. We run our race of faith not just with endurance and perseverance, but with enthusiasm and anticipation. Anticipation of the finish line. The finish line is the day we die and leave this world full of sin, pain, and evil, and enter into the joy of Christ's victory in heaven. That was Christ's focus, and that is Paul's focus, and it should be our focus as well. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, right before he was executed, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those, all those who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. Jesus Christ is the one who motivates us to finish the race, and he's the one who greets us at the finish line. At that finish line, Christ is waiting for us. And in his hand is the crown of righteousness, the crown of salvation, the crown of victory. Not our victory, but the victory that Jesus Christ has already won for you through his death and resurrection. The ultimate victory over sin, over the devil, and over death itself. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.